Thank you. Thank you, Patty. Amen. Well, thank you for being here in the house tonight, and everybody online, thank you for joining us tonight. And it's a privilege and honor to be up here as I get set up. I'm just privileged, honored, happy that you can join us tonight, happy that you can join us online. Lots of hearts, likes, share this with somebody, share this with a friend. I know we have a lot of people that are online tonight, and I'm excited to be here. And tonight, I have an opportunity to talk and speak God's word, and I stand here because of the work that Christ has done in me over the past 20 years. And tonight, I'm going to talk about a small story in the middle of Jesus' ministry. It was in the middle of Jesus' great movement and momentum in his ministry and in a miracle. There's a small story that I want to share with you tonight. And tonight I'm going to talk about an interruption. We're going to be in Matthew 14 if you want to turn your Bibles or devices there, whatever you have to see the Word of God. We also are going to spend a little bit of time in Genesis 37. And as I talk tonight, has anybody ever had an interruption happen in their life? I don't know about you, but life tends to bring a lot of interruptions. Life can be going really good, and everything can be going just as planned, and then life just interrupts you. Life has a way of interrupting our plans. You ever remember watching like the TV or, you know, the phone? Or the radio, and it goes, bzzz. We interrupt this broadcast for a special news bulletin. And you're like, come on, I was in my show. I was watching my special show. But that's sometimes how life is. It comes out of nowhere, and it just interrupts us. Throws us curveballs, throws us detours. That text message that you just wish you didn't get. The phone call that you were dreading, that piece of mail that came in the mailbox that you just didn't want to open up, out of nowhere, an interruption. And as I read Matthew 14:13, this is where the interruption happens in Jesus' life. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the city. And when Jesus went out, he saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion and healed their sick. Right in the middle of Jesus' ministry, his teaching, he was preaching, he was sharing the truth. Healing was taking place everywhere. The disciples were learning and growing in their faith in God. The movement and the momentum of the gospel was taking place, and the good news of Jesus was spreading quickly. And then, out of nowhere, an interruption occurred to Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, right in the middle of his great movement. And one of Jesus' miracles, he was interrupted. He was disturbed. And the title of my message tonight is Pardon the Interruption. And I believe God has something great for me in this message. And I believe he has something great for you in the house and everybody that's watching online. So let me pray. Father God, I just thank you that I can even stand here tonight. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to be open, to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. So what happened? What was the interruption? I want to give you some context and some background of why Jesus was headed to a deserted place. If you know the scripture and if you've ever read in Matthew, Jesus is laying it all out there. I mean, he's laying out parable after parable, teaching and preaching and healing and showing the disciples what their work is going to be. And out of nowhere, an interruption happens in Jesus' life. So what was this interruption? Why was Jesus so interrupted? And let me read it. Matthew 14, 8 through 12. This gives it a little more context of this great interruption in Jesus' life. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because the oath and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then the disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. This was big. This was a big story. John was beheaded. This was a great loss for Jesus and for the disciples. John was a key figure in the spread of the gospel of Jesus. I spoke a message a while back. It was called "The Great Expectation for You to See." And I was laying out the importance of John the Baptist's life and what he meant to Jesus. John was born with a divine purpose. He had a calling on his life. John was the voice to clear the way and prepare the people of the coming of Jesus. John even baptized Jesus, and John was family. Imagine hearing this news that the closest person, one of the closest people to you, is no longer with you. Somebody walks up to you and says, "Hey, I'm really not sure how to say this. I know you've been serving. I know you've been preaching. I know you've been giving. I know you've been healing. I know you've been discipling. You know, John, the one that baptized you, he's not here anymore. Jesus' heart must have just sank." The Bible says in Matthew 14:13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. My question is where was Jesus going? Now, a little help here. Has anybody ever said, "I just need some time to be"? Yeah. "I just want to be by myself." The question I have is, where are we going to be alone, to be by ourselves? What do we do when life throws us a curveball, when we get interrupted, when our plans get turned in a totally different direction, when some really, really bad news hits our life? Do we retreat? Do we isolate? Do we shrink back? Catch this. Do we create friendly fire and start hurting the people and backing away from our families, our friends, the people we serve with, the people that love us, and the people who can really help us? I want to turn our attention to a story in Genesis. And it's in the Old Testament. It's about Joseph. And you want to talk about some interruptions. Joseph had a big calling on his life. God gave it to him. And on top of that, Joseph was favored by Jacob, his father, over all the other siblings. And in Genesis 37:3, it says, "Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children." And Joseph had a dream. Little did he know the dream was from God about his destiny. He had a dream his family was going to bow down before him. Go back and read the story. It's an amazing story. But Joseph went from shepherd boy to second in command over Egypt. He was 17 years old when he had the dream, and he was 30 years old before he became ruler over Egypt. It was 13 years from when Joseph had the dream to when God's designed destiny was fulfilled in Joseph's life. You want to talk about interruption? The space from the dream to the fulfillment of God's plan was filled with interruption after interruption after interruption. Read the story. His own family, he experienced hate, anger, jealousy. His parents, his own father, doubted the dream. He was abandoned by his family. He was plotted against to be killed, sold into slavery. He was lied about. He lost his high ranking position and imprisoned by Potiphar. And he was forgotten in prison. 13 years of interruptions. How long are our interruptions? I know God will see us through our interruptions just as he did with Joseph. And I want to read you the end of the story. If we go to Genesis 45, 4 through 8. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life." That's amazing. "For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in this land, and to save your life by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God sent me here. It was he who made me father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all the house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt." God had a purpose for Joseph. Life had interruption. God had a miracle, and God had a designed destiny for Joseph's life. So how will we respond when interruptions come? And they will. Interruptions will come. When life happens, when there's pain, there's loss, there's hurt, and life says, "Hey, pardon the interruption," how will we respond? Everyone's interruption is a little different. The timing of it, when it happens, how long it will last, how big and how small. Everyone has different experiences and journey from purpose to interruption to miracle, to design destiny. The space and time is different for everybody. What we do in that time is crucial. Whether the space is a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a year, or it could even be our whole life. What has interrupted your life tonight? What has interrupted your life recently? And I want to encourage you, don't get lost in the interruption, lost in thought, lost in the trial, lost in the lesson. There's another story. Pastor Marty brought it up last week about the story of Jonah. He had a huge calling on his life to speak God's word to a nation, to a people that had turned the other way. But you want to know what he tried to do? He tried to get lost in the interruption. First, he tried to flee the presence of the Lord. Then he tried to hide at the lowest point in a ship. Then Jonah was casted into the sea by the crew. God brought a great fish to swallow him up. At the lowest point, in the belly of the fish, Jonah cried out to the Lord. In Jonah 2, 6 and 7, "Yet you have brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul faint within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy name, into your holy temple." Don't get lost in the interruption or in the belly of a fish. We are set apart. Jeremiah tells us in 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Continue on to your designed destiny." Can somebody give me an amen? Amen. Sound like I'm preaching to myself up here. Amen? Amen. Don't get lost in your interruption. And don't let the interruption derail your destiny. You may have great loss. You may have financial ruin. You may be a young family trying to have children. You may have financial disaster, pain, hurt, grieving, heartache after heartache after heartache. Don't let it derail you. Psalms 42 says, "He lift me up from the pit of despair, out of the mud of the miry. He set my feet. He set your feet. He set your feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walk along. Our actions and our responses, from the interruption to the breakthrough, is key. Are we still loving God? Are we still loving people? Are we still serving our families? Are we still serving the church? Are we still serving the community? In our interruptions, keep loving. Keep loving people. Keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep showing up to church. Keep showing up to small groups. Keep serving at activity night. Keep showing up to the food distribution. Keep serving in our food pantry. Keep serving in the clothing connection. God will see you through your interruption. God knows your beginning, my beginning, and my end. In Revelations, it says, God says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, and I am the end, for I am the Lord your God. I am the one who was, who is, and will to come. I am God Almighty. Isaiah in 41 tells us, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious hands. God has a purpose for you. Life is going to give us interruptions. God is going to see us through into a miracle. And God is going to see the design destiny for our lives to be fulfilled. That was my first point. Is how are we going to respond? And my second point is, what did Jesus do? What could we learn? What did Jesus do in the interruption? In Matthew 14:13, it says, he headed to be alone in a deserted place. See, Jesus had a plan. He was going somewhere. He was headed. He had a plan. It said he was going somewhere, but he was interrupted. What did he do? How did he treat people? How did he treat the people he was leading and influencing? What did Jesus do in this interruption? He loved, he served, he had compassion, he embraced the interruption, he fulfilled his purpose, he performed miracles, he discipled, he continued on into his destiny. The first mark of servanthood is the ability to put others ahead of ourselves and our personal desires. It is more than being willing to put our agenda on hold. It means intentionally being aware of people's needs, available to help them, and the ability to accept their desires as important. Now let me read what Jesus did. In Matthew 14, 41 through 21. And then Jesus went out and saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed the sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves. But Jesus, being Jesus, said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You serve them. You have compassion. And they said to him, we only have a couple boxes at the food pantry. We only have a couple boxes at the food distribution. Is the other truck going to show up? Is the food link truck going to show up? It's 9 o'clock. People are getting a little on edge. The line is going all the way around Jackson. The school bus driver is yelling at the cops. We're getting heat from everywhere. We're feeling the pressure. But what Jesus says is, bring those boxes to me. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the little boxes at the food distribution. I'm going to get back to the scripture. And he took the two fish and looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. What did Jesus do? He continued on into his divine destiny. He served in his purpose. Some of our greatest miracles will come out of our greatest disturbances. This was a lesson for the people. This was a lesson for the disciples. This is a lesson for us. The Bible says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus would have been justified in saying to everyone, "Go away. Can't you see I need some time alone to be away?" But he didn't. He knew God's purpose and his plan and his design destiny for his life. One of the greatest remedies for our own suffering is serving others. Now catch this, serving becomes a solution for both the server and the one being served. Jesus had a purpose. Life threw him an interruption. God performed a miracle, and Jesus continued in his design destiny. My third and final point, where was Jesus even going? What was he going to do? In Matthew 14:23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray." Jesus was interrupted by one of his greatest losses, somebody that was extremely close to him, a brother in faith, a disciple, the one that baptized him, his own family. He just wanted some time to pray, reflect, and think. So I ask, why the mountain? Jesus was moving to a higher vantage point where he could see and get a better perspective. He had an opportunity to see from another point of view over the disciples and over the people he was ministering to. So why and what is the advantage of being at a higher position? If you've ever served in the military sense, it would read like this: "Since the elevation is higher than that of the surrounding areas, a position of atop of a hill can provide a larger vantage point from where direction and movement can be monitored." Jesus could see from the highest vantage point. If you take this metaphorically, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, watching over each and every one of us tonight. The Bible says he was going to a deserted place. We may think he was going to be alone or even isolate himself, but Jesus was not retreating. Jesus was not defeated. He was not trying to be alone, and he wasn't trying to isolate himself. After he served, after he gave everything he had, after he gave of everything he had, he finally had a moment to look up to his Father. He was going to the one with the highest spiritual perspective, the highest point of view, God, his Father. Even in one of Jesus' greatest losses, Jesus knew where his strength came from. The Father, God Almighty, the ultimate power source, the highest of all perspectives at the highest vantage point. When we're interrupted, when our interruptions come, and they will, how will we respond? We need to seek God's perspective. We need to go to the highest vantage point. Seek the highest spiritual perspective of all, and that's God. And that's prayer with God. Prayer is the contemplation of all facts of life from the highest vantage point. But what's amazing is the story doesn't end here. He just doesn't go up to the mountain. He doesn't just go up to the high place and just leave us here. If you read in Psalms 33:20, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help us in time of trouble. Right where you're sitting tonight, because of the Holy Spirit, you can choose the highest perspective at all, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't have time tonight, but you go and read the rest of the story in Matthew. The rest of the story is Matthew 14, 22 through 33. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit. After Jesus moved to the highest vantage point, up to the mountain, after seeking God the Father, the highest spiritual perspective he could get, look what happens. Another interruption. A disturbance in the weather and a disturbance in the disciples' faith. Jesus just performed a miracle, the five loaves right in front of the disciples. And there was it couldn't have been 36 hours. It had to be within 24 hours. There was a great disturbance, an internal turmoil in the disciples' faith. And what did Jesus do? He went back to serving in his purpose. Jesus had the best vantage point to see the disciples. A storm came over his disciples, physically and spiritually. He walked on water to get to them. He calmed the fear of the disciples. Jesus challenged Peter and he said, "Step out." And then Jesus calmed the storm and calmed the doubt in the disciples' mind. He knew his purpose. He was interrupted. God performed a miracle, and Jesus continued in his design destiny. And as I close out tonight, in our storms of life, in my storms of life, when my faith and my courage is low, he doesn't leave me alone. He comes down from the high place. He walks on the water to meet me. And he walks right into my storm of life. He sees me there, and he's not looking around to the left or right. He looks, he sees me there, and he walks right into the storm. And he says to me, he says to you, he says to you, "Come, I will perform a miracle in your life. I will calm the storm in your life. I will calm and cast out the fear and doubt in your life." See, God has given us all a purpose. And if you know, and if you've been in life long enough, it's going to give you interruptions. And it could be an interruption after an interruption and after an interruption. But keep seeking God, because he will see and he will perform a miracle in your life, so you can continue in God's design destiny for your life, for my life, for your life. So I want to encourage you tonight. Know your purpose. Stay connected to God. So when interruptions come, you can see through the lesson, through the storm, to receive the promise and the miracle God has for me, for you, for all of us, so we can continue in God's design destiny for our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So I just want to say thank you for joining us. Everybody online, thank you for being with us. I know some friends, some family are online tonight. Thank you. I hope that's blessed you. Everybody in-house, thank you so much for being here. This is all God. God has put all this together. God has orchestrated every thought in my mind, every thought in my spirit, and has put all this together for you and for me and for you online. So I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. And as I close out tonight, I just want to remind you, God has a purpose for your life. Life's going to have interruptions, but God has a miracle for each and every one of us. And God has a design destiny over our life. And we need to keep serving in our purpose. And I want to just encourage you to join us Sunday. Pastor Marty is coming back from a conference. He's going to be on fire. He has a message about love to us, the love of Jesus Christ, the one that saved me right over there 20 years ago. You can join us online or right here in service, right here at 8:30, 10 o'clock, or over on Liberty Street. You can join us at St. Anthony's. God bless you. Have a great night, and thank you for joining us tonight. Have a good night.